You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 18th of June, 2024. The Australian share market rose 1% today. We'll get the details with Catherine Orfrey from Wavestone Capital. But first to the Reserve Bank, which left interest rates on hold at 4.35% today. That's the same level they've been since November 2023. But the board is becoming increasingly uncertain about the economic backdrop. Here's a bit from Michelle Bullock, the RBA governor, speaking to the media following the decision today.
So the board's had a good discussion over the past couple of days, and I think the truth is that we're at a really complex part of the cycle at the moment. As I've said before, we're looking to bring inflation down to target while maintaining the gains in the labour market that we've seen over the past couple of years. Inflation's come down a long way since it peaked in 2022, both in Australia and overseas. And part of this was the resolution of supply chain issues, which also energy prices easing, which has helped. But it also reflects the tightening of monetary policy all around the world, and that's helping to dampen demand. That said, inflation is still above central bank targets in many economies, and it is proving to be sticky. And the progress in getting inflation down has slowed, and Australia isn't any different here. So since the previous meeting, we've had March quarter national accounts, which has told us a few interesting things. First, the March quarter consumption data and upward revisions to its history mean that consumption growth's been a bit stronger than we thought and the savings rate a bit lower. At the same time, I think you'll all remember that GDP barely grew in the quarter and consumption per capita continued to decline. We do expect that household real incomes will rise later in the year with tax cuts and lower inflation, so it is possible that consumption growth will also be a bit stronger. But we also know that many households are really feeling the impacts of high inflation and higher interest rates. And as I noted earlier, on average, households have reduced their saving rate by more than we thought to support their spending. It's tough just to keep up with essentials: groceries, petrol, health, education, rents, insurance expenses. I could go on, they're all going up. On the other hand, while labour market conditions are quite strong, the unemployment rate published last week was at 4% for May. Employment's still growing, it's just growing a bit more slowly than it was a year or so ago. Now, this is important for the other part of our mandate, because people having jobs is critical to them being able to meet the challenges of the higher cost of living. Wages growth in the March quarter was a bit weaker than expected, and we think it's likely to have passed its peak for the current cycle, but growth of unit labour costs was still a bit high. The monthly CPI indicator for April was stronger than expected. However, there's been limited information about services inflation since the May board meeting, and this is where the most recent strength has been coming from. So really we need to get more comprehensive readings on inflation before we can get a handle on the momentum in services inflation. So what does this all mean? Well, the recent data have been mixed, but overall, I think they reinforce the need to remain vigilant to the upside risks to inflation. We still think we're on the narrow path, but it does appear to be getting a bit narrower. We need a lot to go our way if we're going to bring inflation back down to the 2% target range. The board does need to be confident that inflation is moving sustainably towards target, and it will do what is necessary to achieve that outcome.
That is Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock speaking to the media after the board's decision to leave interest rates on hold at 4.35%. For more analysis and where to next, I spoke with Moody's Analytics economist Katrina L. Katrina, so the RBA continues to say that it isn't ruling anything in or out when it comes to the path of future interest rates. But reading the statement, do you think that it is leaning one way more than another?
So reading the statement, I think it's pretty clear that the RBA doesn't know what they're going to do next. And I think their hope is certainly that they have done enough to tame inflation, and they're just waiting for that transmission mechanism to fully filter through the economy. But at this stage, I just don't think that they are moving one way or the other. I think what's really interesting is, and what we need to remember is that, it takes 6 to 9 months for the full impact of one rate hike to fully manifest in the economy. Their last rate hike was in November, so we're still waiting for that to really transmit through. Hopefully they've done enough, but I think it really will wait to see and get confirmation of that over the next couple of months.
What I found interesting looking through the RBA's accompanying statement today was that I counted the word uncertain or a variation of that word 8 times in the statement. It's uncertain about the economic outlook, consumption, geopolitics. As you mentioned, monetary policy lags. The key one, though, being services inflation. What's the significance, do you think, of this? And what does it imply about the way it's making decisions?
Oh, I think it's a really interesting observation, and I think you've hit the nail on the head about the uncertain situation going forward. I mean, we're in an environment where the central bank is looking at all these different range of indicators, and there's significant upside, but also significant downside risks. I think the big question mark for the RBA over the next couple of months is what actually happens going forward to the consumer after the 1st of July, when we get those range of tax cuts and cost of living relief coming through. A consumer is going to respond with exuberance and potentially then lift inflation further on the demand side, or are they going to remain cautious? And I think from their perspective, they're hoping that it doesn't change the inflation trajectory too much. And our expectation is that it doesn't either. So inflation will continue to remain on that bumpy downtrend. And as you mentioned, services inflation as well will continue to trend down, but not as quickly as that goods disinflation path that we've seen.
So ultimately, if you're looking through the data right now, do you see the next move in interest rates being down? And if so, when? Because we also heard curiously from the RBA governor today in the media conference saying that while they didn't consider a cut today in the past board meeting, they did discuss a rise.
Yeah, so our expectation is that they have done enough and their next move will be a cut. But yeah, really interesting that for the past two consecutive meetings, they have explicitly said we did consider a hike this month. So our expectation is that we will see our first cut in December. But honestly, there is still a lot of life and a lot of data to be released between now and December. So I wouldn't be surprised if that first cut does get pushed out until the first kind of quarter of next year.
If there is something that's going to tip the Reserve Bank into saying, hey, we need to lift interest rates, what will it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it will be inflation. I think if inflation does materially tick higher and lead to upside revisions to forecasts, then I don't think they'll hesitate too much in delivering another hike.
That's Katrina Earl there from Moody's Analytics.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Now, the rates decision didn't really have an impact on the market today. What did, though, was a strong lead from Wall Street with the market surging at the open, and that's where it stayed for the rest of the day with the ASX 200 up 1% to 7,778. For more of the day's market action, I spoke with Catherine Allfree, a portfolio manager at Wavestone Capital, and I first asked her what the market thinks will be the future for interest rates.
The latest pricing at the moment is February in terms of consensus. I think 93% of economists think that's when that first rate cut will occur. There is some players as early as CBA economists are calling for it in November, but we're only talking sort of 25 basis points. But I really do think it's going to be dependent on the CPI, June print as to what that comes out as. But they said today it depends on the data, and I think they mentioned in the report 8 times about uncertain outlook. So, it can have a bit of an each way bet at the moment.
When we look at the market reaction, right, we know that the banks are doing particularly well. CBA today hitting a record. NAB is at a near 10-year high. Why? What's the significance of this? Is it likely to continue? Because I've heard some commentary saying that CBA, for example, is quite expensive.
Yeah, CBA is expensive on its actual metrics versus global peers, trading on about 21 times PE, which is just unheard of for a retail bank. What's driving this? Well, if you remember back in COVID, there was a lot of equity raisings for banks, and they put away all these provisions thinking that we were going to have this big bad debt cycle. But of course, the government and also the central banks just sort of flooded consumers with cash. And so they've been eating through all those savings, but the banks haven't had to, you know, pay out any of the bad debts. So therefore, they've got this surplus provisioning and surplus capital they're sitting on. So as a result, what we've seen is they've started buying back their stock. So they're supporting their stock price every day in the market by buying that stock. The earnings numbers have been pretty average, like year on year, they were down sort of 8-9%, half on half down about 1-2%. So nothing really to get excited about from the earnings perspective. But the only thing I would say is I am, you know, liaison with the banks is that the pricing environment, particularly in mortgages, has got a little bit better. So the competition's not as fierce as it was last year when all the consumers were rolling off those 2% fixed rates onto variable, and there was a lot of mortgage competition at that time. That's really eased off. So that's better for their margin outlook as well. So I think it's a combination of, you know, strong capital position, strong provisioning, and, you know, reasonable outlook.
Don't want to be jumping around too much, but if we go back to the market today, I noticed that there wasn't really some reaction from the RBA decision, but the market did open quite strongly following a strong lead from the US, the NASDAQ continuing to hit record highs, I think so too the S&P 500. But I'm curious to get your take on the state of the technology sector, in particular all this AI hype. Is it hype or do you like it?
Look, I think... yeah, there is an element of hype about it. Of course, you can talk it like that. But I think we've sort of seen nothing yet. I mean, wait until all of the gadgets in which we use change and they're then powered by AI. So can you imagine, you know, you're already seeing it in some of the software that you use, like whether it be your email where it's automatically prompting things, you know, on the actual emails. Imagine once your actual iPad or, you know, computer is powered by AI as well, and then the demand that that's going to drive for data. And that's why we're seeing, whether it be the chip makers, whether it be the data centers, we're just seeing this continuous, you know, actual demand is outstripping supply. And I do think, you know, there's been a couple of reports overnight by JP Morgan and also Citi looking at the outlook for data, and they're both very bullish. So, you know, I still think that at this stage, it looks like the demand is outstripping the supply. So it's fascinating. And we saw also last night TSMC, the Taiwanese chip maker, put prices up again, pointing out again that point that demand is outstripping supply.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, parking the AI and anything to do with that. One of the other things today in the market was interesting was Macquarie Group. Finally, some more good news there. We saw an upgrade from Barrenjoey, both from an earnings perspective. And I think that's the first time in a couple of years that we've seen, you know, earnings upgrades for Macquarie. So it'll be interesting leading into their AGM in July, how their first quarter is traded, because they've had some pretty weak results in the last 18 months. So it also is a beneficiary of, believe it or not, data centers. It owns those in the United States and Asia and Europe as well. So in their funds businesses, they should be able to earn some, you know, good performance fees from there. So that's, you know, quite positive. But a lot of our company liaison at the moment is actually quite bearish about the Australian economy. So we're a little bit worried about, you know, some of the Australian sort of retail, you know, property stocks, because we are seeing a real slowdown in the economy. So I do believe these tax cuts that we're going to get in July can't come soon enough, because we really need, you know, the economy to get another bit of a boost.
Catherine Orfu there from Wavestone Capital.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.